Dave Emery here. This is side two of For the Record program number 799, Miscellaneous Articles and Updates. This program is being recorded on June 22nd of the year 2014. We concluded side one with a couple of articles dealing once again with Bitcoin, the computer code being marketed as an online, quote, cryptocurrency, unquote. The actual maker of Bitcoin, the mythical Satoshi Nakamoto, remains a subject of informed speculation. There is no governmental regulation of any kind. Abuse has been, to say the least, rampant, and indeed, the advocates of Bitcoin, including and especially libertarian adherence to the Austrian School of Economics and the doctrines of Ludwig von Mises and Friedrich von Hayek, including, by the way, people like Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, and people of that ilk, they advocate Bitcoin because it will be a new vehicle for circumventing governments, and the supposed integrity of the system will rely on the integrity of the users. It is a fanciful utopian philosophy. It would be really, really nice if, in fact, something like that worked out. But, in fact, it generally does not. People have sought the refuge and the support of governmental institutions specifically to protect, historically, specifically to protect themselves from the depredations and oppression by those who are more powerful, either economically, militarily, or physically. And with no regulation whatsoever, Bitcoin is already evidencing all of the ills of the mainstream economy, so to speak, except more so. It's even more concentrated than the 1% versus 99%. One mining consortium, ghash.io, which is in turn controlled by a mysterious Netherlands-based company called CEX, and a company that uses a London mailing address, effectively controls the Bitcoin market at this point. That hasn't stopped the Federal Election Commission from authorizing political contributions in Bitcoin. That would certainly seem to open up the fiscal electoral landscape even more than the Citizens United and McCutcheon decisions by the Supreme Court have done. Basically, if you have a whole lot of money, or in this case, Bitcoins, then you will be able to wield outside influence in outsized influence, I should say, in the political process. Another of the things that we have looked at in connection with Bitcoin, which, as I've indicated, appears to be an op, okay, an operation, is the fact that Bitcoin has become a vehicle of choice for various criminal elements, drug traffickers, arms traffickers, scammers of all kinds. The initial Silk Road Network went down, and Ross Ulbricht, the alleged mastermind of Silk Road, once again a follower of Ron Paul and a subscriber to the Austrian School of Economics. Then Silk Road 2 went down as well. A successor to those, the Sheep Marketplace, vanished overnight, taking some $100 million or more in bitcoins for its users with it. I guess you could say the users of Sheep Marketplace got shorn. And in general, Bitcoin has proved to be a wonderful vehicle for criminal activity. And again, everybody likes the concept of freedom. Whoopee, libertarianism. Behold my wings. Watch me fly. Except there are limits to freedom. When freedom involves walking down the street with a big knife and slashing open somebody's face whom you don't happen to like, or maybe whose looks you don't like, your freedom ends right there. You don't have the freedom to do that. And unfortunately, in the frankly deluded online world of cyber-libertarian fascists, something we've talked about recently. Basically, it's sort of like, do as thou wilt. It is really quite disturbing. Witness the following from the Daily Mail from the UK of April 21st of 2014. The director of Europol, the European Union's police agency, is warning about a truly sickening practice. This is from, again, the Daily Mail of April 21st of this year, 2014. It's an article by Kieran, K-I-E-R-A-N, Corcoran, C-O-R-A-N. Disturbing new internet child abuse sees toddlers raped and burned live on webcam as pedophiles use Bitcoin to stop being traced, warns police chief. It reads in part. One of Europe's top police officers has warned of a sickening online trade in child torture porn. Rob Wainwright, the director of Europol, said offenders are using the untraceable online currency Bitcoin to pay for depraved, quote, shows, unquote, performed live on webcams, which see young children being raped and burned. He said, quote, the level of depravity seems to be descending year on year, frankly, including what seems to be in vogue now, which is live webcam, quote, shows, unquote, of toddlers not just being raped, but being burnt with cigarettes. Mark Wainwright warned that online predators were paying to watch children being raped and burned live on webcam. Sorry, quote, sorry, but it's happening online, and it's extremely difficult for us to identify, unquote. Mr. Wainwright warned that Bitcoin, a, quote, cryptocurrency, unquote, based on mathematical formula and independent of any government or central bank, is propping up a criminal black market. He also warned that police and politicians are struggling to keep up with the pace of online crime thanks to widespread anonymity online and easy access to encryption technology, which can make criminals almost impossible to track down. By the way, this is now becoming somewhat easier, courtesy of the operations of Eddie the Friendly Spook. And again, Eddie Snowden is as far to the right as you can get. He advocates eliminating Social Security. He advocates bringing back the gold standard. He supports Ron Paul. More about him later. His first attorney was the chief legal counsel to Ron Paul's 2012 campaign. Ron Paul, inextricably linked with advocates for slavery, white supremacy, the neo-Confederate movement. Paul's been very effective at serving as something of a seducer. He advocates legalizing marijuana so the stoners gravitate toward him, and he wants to reduce American political military commitments abroad, which woos leftists to his banner. The reason he wants to do that is basically he wants to see Israel get wiped out and doesn't want the U.S. around to be able to prevent that, which I don't think they will be able to do anyway, but that is somewhat beside the point. But Ron Paul, one of his top advisors, again, a guy named Walter Block, is an advocate of voluntary slavery, which I have previously termed the ultimate oxymoron and the ultimate collateralized debt obligation. That, in a nutshell, is where the Bitcoiners, Edward Snowden, Ron and Rand Paul and their defenders, now including, by the way, Ralph Nader, that is where they are at. Skipping down in this story, the Internet Watch Foundation pressure group has recently claimed to have found evidence of an email scam directing people to underground websites where the six shows could be seen in exchange for Bitcoin. By the way, a lot of the cyber-libertarian fascists are just saying, well, these kinds of things have to be put up with. It's part of the price of freedom. Well, I guess that could be seen to be the case, but I'll guarantee you if their kids wind up in one of these videos or if they wind up in an adult version of same, they aren't going to think it is so damn tolerable. Again, one of the things we are talking about is fascism as a virus. It metamorphoses, it evolves, and we are seeing a very real form of fascism, brutal and oppressive in its fundamentals, advancing under the banner of freedom, libertarianism, don't fence me in, etc., etc. And what I have called the Palestinian Libertarian Organization is at the center of this. Recently, a couple of cops got shot in Las Vegas, and the killers were part of this group, and they're also supporters of Cleven Bundy. He was the rancher who was grazing his cattle on public lands and didn't want to pay the fees that are required. He had a whole bunch of armed supporters, and I guess you could say the Bundy Bundists, so to speak, are front and center in the sovereign citizen movement, and again, a form of fascism, advancing under the banner of freedom, no regulations, don't fence me in, and don't fence my cattle in, etc. From the Daily Beast, again, a relatively staid mainstream publication, the Daily Beast of June 9th, 2014, has an article by John Avlon, A-V-L-O-N, Hatriot Politics Created the Las Vegas Killers, it reads in part. The obsessively anti-government Hatriot movement moved from cultivating conspiracy theories to real killing on Sunday in Las Vegas. The wingnut Bonnie and Clyde duo Jared and Amanda Miller stormed into CeCe's Pizza and shot two Metro cops, Alan Beck and Igor Soldo, at close range while shouting, "This is a revolution," unquote. They flung the Tea Party's favorite coiled snake, Gadsden flag, and a swastika on the still-warm corpses, and then moved to a nearby Walmart to murder the shopper before turning the guns on themselves. But the crime scene chronology only tells part of the story, because the Miller's massacre had been brewing for a long time, visible online. Their Facebook pages detail a descent into a murderous rage, railing against a tyrannical government and parroting talking points from right-wing talk radio hosts such as Alex Jones and militia movement groups such as the Three Percenters, while liking, unquote, the pages of conservative activist groups ranging from the Heritage Foundation to FreedomWorks and the NRA. Miller's profile picture was a skull wearing an American flag bandana against a backdrop of crossed knives over the word patriot, unquote, skipping down. Jared Miller's anti-government frenzy was whipped up by the extreme right-wing echo chamber. Earlier this year, Miller responded to calls to stand with Cleven Bundy in and declared common cause with the renegade rancher. Quote, "I will be supporting Cleven Bundy and his family from federal government slaughter," he wrote. "This is the next Waco. His ranch is under siege right now. The federal government is stealing his cattle, arresting his family, and beating on them. We must do something. I will be doing something," unquote. When Miller returned from Bundy's ranch, he posted that, quote, "The Bureau of Land Management snipers were all over the place," unquote. Skipping down. Miller was a vocal supporter of libertarian Ron Paul, posting during the fall of 2012, "Ron Paul is the only hope for America, and we have all failed him, our children and our grandchildren, by failing to demand fair coverage of all presidential candidates." This guy is of the same stripe as Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden. And Glenn Fraser Miller, the fellow who allegedly shot three people at a Jewish community center in Kansas this past spring, also a vocal supporter of Ron Paul and the Palestinian Libertarian Organization. Another so-called sovereign citizen and supporter of Cleven Bundy, one of the Bundy Bundists, so to speak, also went off shooting cops. This from the TPM Talking Points Muckraker of June 17th of 2014, a post by Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N, Scott, S-C-O-T-T. BLM shooting suspect as anti-government conspiracy theorist with a pending gun charge, it reads in part. The man accused of shooting two law enforcement members in California, including a Bureau of Land Management ranger, has had at least one previous run-in with law enforcement and has described himself as the target of a massive government conspiracy. Brent Douglas Cole, 60, was named by the Nevada County Sheriff's Office on Monday as the suspect in Saturday's shooting that also left him wounded. Skipping down. The Southern Poverty Law Center in research shared with Talking Points Memo on Tuesday afternoon linked Cole to an online profile in which he described himself as, quote, a sovereign American citizen attempting to thwart the obvious conspiracy and subterfuges of powers inimical to the United States. Sovereigns believe that they, not judges, juries, law enforcement, or elected officials, get to decide which laws they want to obey and which they want to ignore, and they don't think they should have to pay taxes, unquote, the SPLC has written in its summary of sovereign citizen beliefs. Some using the name Brent Douglas Cole uploaded Google documents that were purportedly filed in his defense for the January arrest. These documents have not been independently verified by Talking Points Memo, but they carry the same case number as the firearms case. In the documents, Cole described himself as, quote, a statutory attorney general of the United States, unquote, and claimed the California law under which he had been charged violated the Second Amendment. He also spelled his name in a manner typical of members of the sovereign citizens movement, using lowercase letters and unusual punctuation, Brent-Douglas:Cole, unquote. And skipping down again, Cole also posted a number of news articles on Facebook sympathetic to the Bundy Ranch Militia, including an April 16th post about, quote, an InfoWars expose connecting the land grab to Harry Reid and a Chinese-backed solar firm, unquote. And this sort of thing, this don't fence me in, we don't think there should be any regulation, etc., etc., has a very, not only does it respond to the right-wing echo chamber, including people on the internet sympathetic to the fascistic truther movement, not that there were not profound conspiratorial elements in the September 11th attacks. There is plenty of information on the public record linking the Bush administration and the milieu investigated in the Operation Green Quest raids. But the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center, a cruise missile hit the Pentagon, people, that is a fascist political movement funded, by the way, by the very same interests that are linked to the attacks themselves. It's a disinformation movement. They have their own people of this ilk are basically at one. They are like the ground level foot soldiers of the so-called libertarian movement of people like the Koch brothers, Ron and Rand Paul and others. Now the so-called sovereign citizens movement, we will not accept any government regulations about how to use our land, has been endorsed basically by a county in Utah. Appropriately enough, it's called Carbon County, and basically that the one of the main industries there is, not surprisingly, mining, and they don't want to submit to government regulations. From Talking Points Memo Livewire of June 18th, 2014, another article by Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, Utah County declares Bureau of Land Management Authority is, quote, not recognized, unquote, there. Utah County passed a resolution this month asserting that the authority of federal agents, specifically those of the Bureau of Land Management, to enforce state or local laws, even on federal land, would not be recognized within its borders. The Carbon County Commission approved the resolution unanimously on June 4th. Quote, any such attempted exercise of law enforcement powers by an official of a land management agency is not recognized by Carbon County, unquote, the resolution stated, again quoting, and shall be deemed an imminent threat to the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Carbon County, unquote. In prefacing its case, the commission concluded that, quote, Carbon County does not recognize any attempt by a federal official to try to enforce state or local criminal or civil laws on any lands in Carbon County, including any on BLM or Forest Service lands. The resolution also demanded that any federal agent intending to take a law enforcement action, quote, shall first declare his presence and intended action to the sheriff of Carbon County, unquote. The move follows the standoff in Nevada earlier this year between the Bureau of Land Management and a militia-supporting rancher, Cleven Bundy. The resolution, however, did not mention Bundy or the standoff. This, by the way, in many ways could be seen as something of a microcosm for the GOP's general attitude toward not only environmentalism, but in particular their attempts at regulating the fossil fuels industry and the emissions that are contributing to global warming. And for those delusional creatures out there who still doubt global warming, it is not some sort of massive conspiracy between a worldwide body of scientists, now including NASA and the Pentagon, in this, you know, far left-wing delusional Marxist conspiracy. I mean, it is so far gone. You're not going to get NASA and the Pentagon in on some sort of nefarious worldwide left-wing crypto conspiracy, okay? And unfortunately, the Republican Party is subscribing to exactly that, because basically their large corporate donors don't want to have any restrictions on their activities. And the upshot of the actions of areas like Carbon County is basically, if they were allowed to do what they wanted to do, say they want to just mine away willy-nilly and dump toxic tailings into the water supply there or into a river or stream, if you happen to be downstream from that in another county and your water supply gets poisoned and you get cancer or your kids have birth defects or something else, that's just too damn bad. That's the price of freedom, according to the Bundy Bundists, now including Carbon County. And again, we're sort of starting at street level and working our way on up. We saw people like Mr. Cole and people like the Millers in Las Vegas, Nevada. Then we dolly the camera back a little bit, or the camera moves back, and we see Carbon County, Utah. Now let's take a look at what the Republican Party is proposing on doing. Again, from Talking Points memo from D.C. of June 18th of 2014, shutdown wars returned. GOP senators want to block Obama's climate rules. This is by Sahil, S-A-H-I-L, Kapoor, K-A-P-U-R. If early Republican enthusiasm is any indication, the upcoming September 30th deadline to keep the federal government open could turn into an all-out war over President Barack Obama's executive actions to combat climate change. As TPM reported earlier this week, senior House Republicans are considering using appropriations legislation to block the Environmental Protection Agency's new restrictions on coal-fired power plants aimed at cutting climate warming pollution by 30% by the year 2030. On Tuesday, numerous Senate Republicans expressed strong support for that idea. And skipping down. Quote, I think Congress needs to give serious thought to utilizing its constitutional power, the power to fund or not to fund, Ranking Budget Committee Republican Jeff Sessions of Alabama said. Asked about using the appropriations bill to undo the EPA rules, he said, quote, that's one of the powers that Congress clearly has, unquote. The Senate Appropriations Committee will consider government funding bills this week. If Republicans insist on prohibiting implementation of the EPA rule in order to keep the government running past September, it could spark another shutdown standoff. Democrats strongly support Obama's environmental regulations, and they intend to block attempts to undo them. And skipping down, Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, told TPM he'd be, quote, totally supportive, unquote, of using government funding legislation to block the EPA rule. Skipping down again, it's too early to know if Republicans will withhold support for funding the government unless Democrats agree to block the EPA rules. But if they pursue the course several of them have suggested and refuse to back down, this summer could turn into a replay of last year's standoff, only over environmental regulations rather than Obamacare, where one side backs down or Congress shuts down parts of the federal government. Basically, I guess you could say Carbon County goes to Washington, so to speak. One of the things that I noted in For the Record Program 758 and 759 is that, again, the shutdown faction of the GOP is the same political milieu of which Eddie Snowden, Julian Assange, Ron Paul, and Rand Paul are part. Now, by the way, receiving the support of Ralph Nader, who is now an advocate of Rand Paul. And sort of looming very large, I guess you could say, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, or the elephant in the room, of the let's all have freedom, let's all be libertarian, don't fence me in, I don't want to have any rules, gigantic corporations which are doing as they see fit. Remember, Mussolini said, for il fascismo e il corporatismo. In For the Record program number 757, I noted that Facebook has a new app which will permit Facebook to turn on the microphone of any user's smartphone at any time to listen in on their activities. The user has to opt out of that, otherwise they can do that. And that's not all Facebook is doing. This from the VentureBeat blog of June 12th of 2014. Here's how to defend yourself from Facebook's new browser spying campaign by Mark Sullivan. Bear in mind that the largest stockholder in Facebook is Peter Thiel, who was also the primary bankroller of Ron Paul's super PAC in 2012. This post reads, Facebook sent out a notice Thursday about its intention to begin sharing the browsing data of its members with its advertising partners. It's a move that most observers saw coming, but one that Facebook has always denied with vigor. Facebook can't capture data about you visiting just any site, only those that have partnered with it. Basically, any site that has a like button, such as this one, or that permits you to log in with your Facebook credentials, will store data about your visit in your browser, which can later be read by Facebook. Skipping down again. The site lets you opt out of receiving ads that have been targeted at you because of your browsing data, but it will not let you opt out from companies harvesting your browsing data. Skipping down. Of course, Facebook is not offering you a way to stop them from collecting your browsing data in the first place. For the record, 718, I did that in an Independence Day of 2010, almost 4 years ago. I called it In Your Facebook, a virtual panopticon, and I warned about this. This appears to be a growing trend in the tech industry. Abean CEO Rob Chevelle says, having worked at the venture capital firm in Silicon Valley, I think there's a data bubble going on. There's been so much money invested in ad tech companies, including Facebook, and so much hype around them, they are going to have to collect more and more personal data. There's just too much pressure to make all that money back. And we're going to wrap up very quickly. Another Pando Daily article from June 18th of 2014 by Yasha, Y-A-S-H-A, Levine. Google works with, quote, former military operations people to develop its Wi-Fi drone army. The plan, part of the article reads, but the plan is to create nothing less than a global Wi-Fi network powered by hundreds of balloons circling the globe at an altitude of 60,000 feet. Skipping down, if hundreds of Google spy balloons constantly hovering overhead isn't scary enough, Levine pointed out that the company is working with former military operations people, unquote, in order to track down and find every downed balloon. Skipping down again. But I'm curious exactly what kind of former military operations people is Google working with. Private security contractors like Blackwater or Academy, or maybe the secretive CIA-connected Blackbird Technologies? And again, interesting questions to ask and to answer. However, we can't do any more of either because we're all out of time. This wraps up Side 2. For the record, 799. Miscellaneous articles and updates being recorded on June 22nd of 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.